Every 25 years, Holy Mother Church calls a jubilee year to celebrate the themes that are on display in our gospel today. Although I'm quite certain that most Catholics are normally unaware of exactly the importance of today's gospel from Luke chapter 4. This return of Jesus to Galilee and the power of the Spirit and coming home to his hometown, a little bit of a homecoming event for him. And he opens the book of the prophet Isaiah, referring these beautiful words of Isaiah to himself. So on Christmas Eve 2024, just a few weeks ago, about a month ago, Pope Francis opened the great jubilee year of 2025. It's called the Jubilee Year of Hope. The last ordinary jubilee was in 2000, and there was an extraordinary jubilee in 2015, the Year of Mercy. Now, one of the things that happens during a jubilee year, at least since the year 1380, is that at the time of the jubilee, the Pope will establish a doorway or utilize a doorway at St. John Lateran, the Pope's Cathedral in downtown Rome, as a portal through which when people go through the door, they can receive a plenary indulgence. If you don't know what that is, I'll take that up some other time in another homily. But all to say that the idea of walking through this door signifies beginning a new epoch, a new era, a new phase in one's life, leaving behind sin and one's dysfunctionality, and then passing through this new portal into new possibilities. So I remember I was in seminary in 2000, at the time, the last great jubilee. I had been working in management consulting before entering seminary in the Washington, D.C. area. And my colleagues back at my firm had heard about the great jubilee and the jubilee doors. And in our area, we had a jubilee door established at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. Now, you recall, for those of you old enough to remember, at about the year 2000, we had the Y2K problem. Remember that? Well, my colleagues called me in the seminary to ask, because we had a consulting project to help assuage the derelict potential effects of this moment in technology history, and they asked, can we just start walking our laptops and our PCs through the door, and maybe this will solve all the problems? I said, well, you never know. Okay. So even people outside the Catholic world were aware of this idea. Now, in a jubilee year, what we're doing as a Catholic church is we're actually hearkening back to exactly what we read about in today's gospel, this idea of the celebration of a jubilee year. So this is going to give you a little bit of an insight into Jewish life after the Exodus. So the Jews have left the slavery of Egypt. They've gone on this 40-year sojourn. They've now firmly established themselves as a nation in modern-day Israel. The 12 tribes, etc., and the different places in the Holy Land that each tribe had. And one thing that God did not want the Jews to forget was their former condition of slavery in Egypt. No matter what they did moving forward as a nation, the one thing they could not lose was the sense that they had been enslaved. What Jesus is going to do is he's going to use those historical events and that history as a metaphor for understanding personal jubilee. And the rubric I want to use to explain this is the notion of release. This notion of being released from one's past, being released from one's sins, and then experiencing the freedom of living as the children of God. So the Jews would celebrate actually weekly a mini jubilee called the Sabbath. It's where we get the word sabbatical from. So this time of rest. So, right, the Jewish Sabbath's on Saturday. Okay, that's very well known. Every seventh year, they would call a Sabbath year. And during that year, there would be celebrations and commemorations of the various events that led to the release of the Jews from captivity in Egypt at the time of Moses. But then every seven of these seven jubilee, every time you came to 49 years after these seven consecutive jubilee periods of 7 years, there was actually a massive celebration, a year-long celebration of the Jews. So they would conduct themselves for 49 years, and on the 50th year, it was a year off. It was a year off from work. Great, right? But there's more. These are the three basic things that happened to the Jews during the Jubilee. The first thing was debts were canceled. Wonderful. And everyone's excited about that, especially the students. Okay. Slaves were freed and given liberty. And then patrimonial and ancestral lands were returned to original owners. It was like this giant reset button. Unfortunately for the Jews, they decided to start using, not all of them, but a lot of them, began using the Jubilee in a very abusive way. So, for instance, they would take out massive debts in year 49. Because next year, all is forgiven. Sometimes they weren't so good about returning those ancestral lands without a fight. And perhaps worst of all, they would set their slaves free and then the very next year re-enslave them. And there's biblical scholarship that suggests that one of the reasons why God permitted the Jews to be sent away in the Babylonian exile later and themselves be re-enslaved was because he was so upset that they were re-enslaving people who had been released. And this was an abuse of the Jubilee. So this is such a massive part of Jewish life, many Catholics are not aware of, that in the Dead Sea Scrolls found in Qumran, there's actually one scroll entitled The Book of the Jubilees. And in it describes the tradition and the conditions and the history of what the Jews had experienced regarding the Jubilee until that point. So that finally takes us to today's gospel, Luke chapter 4. Jesus unrolls the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, announcing the great Jubilee. I'll repeat the words. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Interestingly, one of the words further in the passage that is changed is that Jesus changes the words of Isaiah instead of describing God's vengeance, but actually describing his freedom, his liberty, and his love for his people. Now, what Jesus does remarkably in this passage is that he's referring the great Jubilee that they're about to experience to himself personally. He says, no longer is the Jubilee just this observance of a festival of a year long with the cancellation of the debts and letting the slaves go free and the return of the ancestral lands. He says, no, I am the great Jubilee. I have come to set you free, to proclaim a year and an era forever of release. I am the Jubilee. Now, this, of course, did not go very well. The scripture passage ends, and the very next scene is that because Jesus not only invites the possibility of the Gentiles being saved, but refers the Jubilee to himself, which is blasphemous, at least to some of his hearers, they take him to the brow of the hill and almost cast him down headlong, but he stood and walked through their midst because, as the Gospels relate, his hour had not yet come. So trust me, this idea that Jesus is offering this year and this era and this epoch of release, not popular. Strange, no? Because if you thought to yourself, hey, this is freedom, this is liberty, this is liberation. Okay, so that may all be interesting stuff for a cocktail party that you can share with your friends. But let's get down now finally to some brass tacks. What about us? How does this actually affect us? Because you can, you know, admire this from a distance and say, that's very, very interesting. What does this have to do with me? Whether we understand it and can articulate it well, all of us yearn for interior freedom, interior release. All of us have personal histories. All of us have baggage. All of us have things that prevent us from moving forward like through a jubilee door into a new era of our own lives. We are blind. We are lame. We are captive. It could be unforgiveness. It could be a long-standing grudge. It could be a lack of reconciliation in families and among friends. Some of us live currently in a personal apocalypse of sin. We are constantly beleaguered by the same sin over and over again. Some of us are in relationships that we should not be in. Even what seem like harmless, innocuous relationships are actually the seedbed for poison. We know this. We know this. We're not obtuse to these things. I mean, in our heart of hearts. So the great jubilee, in a sense, the reason we do this every 25 years as a church, it's not just to commemorate the historical events of our salvation or even to hearken back to Judaism, as I explained earlier, but it's to renew in us the possibility that Jesus Christ offers us unprecedented liberty and freedom from all those things that prevent us from genuine and lasting friendship with Him. And we all have to take inventory of what this can mean for us. You know, I told you my friends in management consulting were kind of poking fun at the Jubilee door. But, you know, for those of us who do this act in faith, it's a very different experience. It's this possibility that we can enter into a new epoch. And sometimes when we read these readings, we can be unawares that this is precisely what the Lord is after. He's offering us in order to enter into deeper communion and friendship with Him. So I leave you with just a few questions that we can ponder today. These can help us experience the fruits of this Jubilee year of 2025. Who do I need to release from my lack of forgiveness? With whom must I be reconciled? Am I willing to accept Jesus' mercy and truly embrace His love so freely offered to me? What in my life needs release from sin? What am I yet still unwilling to let go of? How do I relate to the Lord who canceled the debt of my sin to the Father? And do I desire with all my heart and soul and strength the patrimony of heaven that Jesus promises me? May this Jubilee year, which we ought to enjoy with great faith and hope, spur us on to deeper discipleship, a more committed sense of being our Lord's friend and experiencing the interior freedom that all of us so desire in our hearts. May He be praised both now and forever. Amen.